Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Actor and comedian George Lopez is back in primetime, and this time he brought his real-life daughter, Maya, along for the ride. The show is Lopez vs. Lopez, Fridays at 7 Central on NBC. The heartwarming comedy tells the story of a working-class old-school Latino who moves in with his modern Gen Z daughter as they rebuild their dysfunctional relationship, one argument at a time. And to talk about it all is George Lopez. George, welcome in.
No, thank you. It's quite an experience. I mean, I grew up watching sitcoms. You know, this show, Lopez vs. Lopez, is in the old Safran and Son, Chico and the Man hour. And I mean, nothing made me happier than even growing up as an only child, being able to secure an hour worth of TV on Friday nights was amazing.
I love that you know that and knew what was in that slot at that time. That's very cool. Because you know what? It's funny. Like, Friday nights, Saturday nights were the pinnacle of television, and it still should be. I don't understand, like, why Saturday nights, they just blow off the entire evening when that was, you know, All in the Family, Jeffersons, you know, Archie Bunker, all that stuff. You know, I'm glad to see a sitcom on a Friday night.
You know what? You're exactly right. And you know, I mean, it's a big world. It's a huge country. I think there are a lot more people that are lonely and alone. First of all, I never believed when a beautiful woman says, "I'm always at home alone on Saturday nights." I doubt that. But those are viable nights for TV. You know, Saturday and we'd watch it as a family, and people would watch it as a family, and that really is what the idea of having that box in your house is to connect people.
No question. Well, please explain to folks what was behind the idea of doing this series with your daughter.
Well, you know, first of all, I got a divorce, you know, and the kid always takes it the most difficult. And you know, my response was, you know, people get divorced. That didn't work. And then we didn't speak for a few years, you know, where we were not talking at all. And, you know, I didn't have a father growing up, so if somebody didn't talk to me, I didn't think he was that bad. But as time started to go, and then Mayan, you know, was graduating from high school, and you know, I went to a graduation and was completely ignored and all those things. And then you, at some point, you have to own your responsibility and you have to own your mistakes. And, you know, my father wasn't around, and I really didn't want to become a father that doesn't speak to his daughter. And I think one of my friends even said to me, I talked to George, he doesn't talk to his daughter either. And it's like, I don't want that to be the line how people describe me.
Yeah, agree. I agree 1,000%. It's tragic either way, and the kids should not be the casualties in all this, and I know sometimes they do, but I'm glad you did that, because I almost think in watching this show that there's almost some healing happening here right in front of our eyes.
I think so. Yeah, I think, you know, when I would go to therapy and sit there with Mayan, and she would be telling me with the therapist there, and the therapist and I would have like a side talk, and she would say to me, you know, these are going to be tough sessions because you're going to have to own your responsibility to what you did. And she wasn't lying. And she would just look at me and be like, hang in there, you know, hang in there, take it, you know, it's going to be all right. And, you know, I've said it before, you know, as tough as those therapy sessions were, I think it was tougher than the silence in the elevator on the way down.
I bet. You know what I love? There's a Chicago connection to all this. So your daughter went to study at Second City here. So she spent time here. You spent time here.
You know, Mayan told me when she was 12, she wanted to be on Saturday Night Live. And then, you know, she was 14 and she goes, I want to go to Second City and study comedy. And she did it. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, there's nobody that can get you in to Second City. You have to get yourself into Second City. But, you know, I've been coming to Chicago since 91. The Funny Firm on West Grand was an amazing club. Right. And then, you know, all those 90s and, you know, staying out of Chicago when the NBA was on.
Yes.
From the playoffs to the end of June. Yeah. Stay out of Chicago.
It was a lot of activity here. But I have to say, like, you as a comedian, you must have seen, you know, being her attending Second City, that in your daughter, you know, you can go to school all day long, but if the instincts, the talent isn't there, you really can't make it work. But you must have seen this lineage of comedy in her.
You know, she had that kind of really quick wit early on. You know, I tell somebody, like, you know, they have to be older to understand the reference, but in Bewitched, when they had the baby, and then the baby looked at the baby bottle, and it floated across the room, and then she saw it, and she saw her baby moving the bottle. It's like, oh, I have to have this conversation with my child that has this power. So, you know, the same thing with mine. You know, mine would get in trouble in school for saying things, and then we almost have to, bring her home and say, you know, you're going to get the urge to say things. You have to be careful whether you say them or not. You have to start thinking about what you're going to say before you say it.
We're talking to George Lopez and his new series, Lopez versus Lopez, and there's more after Look at Your Traffic. Dave Plyer, 720 WGN. We're talking to George Lopez. His new series is Lopez versus Lopez, Fridays at 7 Central on NBC. Your daughter grew up on the set of the original George Lopez show, watching you perform
right. And
dreaming about that. So she did have some firsthand exposure, not only to your sense of humor, living with you, growing up with you, but seeing behind the scenes on the show.
You know, when we started doing we're almost done with the first 13, and seeing her every day, I almost like a picture book. I can see her at 5 years old. I can see her at 3, and I can see her when she was 7 and 10. So every day, she's a 26-year-old woman.
Yeah.
But every day when I look at her, I can see her at different ages of her life, and
that's cool.
You know, if the show continues, I mean, everybody would be happy. But the idea of being able to take your daughter to do something that it became the family business. I was telling, you know, Eddie Van Halen and I were really good friends, and, you know, Wolfgang, you know, clearly had the album nominated for a Grammy. And I would always say, hey, it's the family business. You know, his dad was that way, and Alex. And you can't fight genetics, you know. So it's like, hey, man, you know, she's got what I had. Her mother was very funny and also an actress. And it's good to see your kid do something that they love.
No question. And it really began with a TikTok video that she did, and might have inspired all this, right?
I think, you know, I was playing golf with Anthony Anderson, and I don't really check my TikTok much, but, you know, Mayan did a thing where she was responding to somebody that was, you know, taking aim or saying things about her mother and me, and I think she was defending her mother more, and then, you know, she started to twerk upside down and respond the way that kids do on TikTok. And I remember I was playing golf with Anthony, and he said, hey, man, you see Mayan's TikTok this morning? I said, yeah. He said, what do you think? I said, I don't know. What can I say? I can't say anything. He goes, really? I go, what can I say? And he's like, whoa, wow, man. That's because what can you say? Take it down? She's like, take it down. And so all of that helped her with her emotion of it, but then also the idea that TikTok could bring two people back together that hadn't spoken in years is pretty powerful. I mean, you know, it's just not about twerking and being semi-nude. No. It's also, there's some good things that could come from it.
Absolutely. You know, in 2001, the first show, it was groundbreaking to have a full-on Latinx sitcom on television, but here we are in 2022, and it still feels groundbreaking to have a full-on Latinx sitcom on television. And I've seen references as I read about the premiere of the series, and, you know, so many outlets are talking about, oh, Desi in the 1950s and Freddie Prinze in the 70s. It seems like we could have done better.
You know, I think there was a lot of opportunity for shows to succeed, but also I think, you know, when you're putting a show together, you have to have somebody involved that knows what the... I said, first of all, I think you're writing to an ethnic group, and I don't think that is the right way. I think funny becomes funny,
yes.
But in this world, there's not a lot of time. It's like almost coming like in combat. You don't have really the time to kind of analyze where you're at when you're taking fire, you know, TV, those weeks, and you have to produce really quickly. But I think that when I've been involved in the ones that I've done, and you're a collaborative partner, that all has benefit. And when there isn't somebody in the room, or there isn't a connection to anything other than the people that might work in your household, then I think you get that kind of level of identity as well. So in the first one, you know, I said, you know, just let me add the color. Let's just write good stories. A lot of them were out of my real life. And this one too is that, you know, they're not married. I'm not crazy about the fact that they're not married. She has a kid, and they're in touch with their emotions. They're very much in love. And then I, you know, in real life even, that was never really found that I could connect to something because of the way that I was raised. So in the show, there's a lot of place to go where deep rooted comedy and deep-rooted pain, and pain is comedy, and all that stuff that they say is true.
So true. Hey, before I let you go, so I watched your first set that you ever did on The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson, and, you know, such a defining moment for so many comedians. But not only did you do that in front of Johnny, but you did it in front of Bob Newhart sitting right next to him. I mean, no pressure there, right?
I did, man. You know, wow, man. It's crazy you say that. You know, about a month and a half ago, my wardrobe person said, hey, I got this kind of crazy thing. You know, I got a jeweler, this guy Jonas, and he had come up with somebody had sold him or went to him to sell Johnny Carson's Rolex. So Johnny Carson, I mean, I remember watching The Tonight Show and seeing that thing shine. I'm like, what is that? First of all, nobody had Rolexes back in that day.
Yeah.
So he wore it from 1979 to 92 when he left. He wore this Rolex.
Wow.
And she said, if you want to see it, I can have it brought over here. And I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to see it. And he goes, no pressure. He said, if he doesn't want to buy it, Dick Wolf wanted to look at it. And across the way here, I could see the building. It's a Johnny Carson building. And I did, you know, The Tonight Show. And when I held that watch in my hand, I felt this, like, just this thing go through me, man, like this jolt of energy. I think he had it on. He was wearing that watch when I did the show.
That's awesome.
So I have his watch. I brought it to New York because I thought it had to come back to New York to visit Jimmy and have that idea there at NBC.
I saw 30 Rock.
I think Jimmy thought I was going to give it to him. He's like, this is so nice. No, I'm just bringing it almost to pay as a tribute to the Tonight Show. I'm keeping it. Yeah, but man, I mean, it was something that was so unexpected, especially after seeing Freddie Prinze and being inspired by Chico and the Man and all that stuff, that this whole thing in my life would come true.
How cool is that? Lopez versus Lopez, Fridays at 7 Central on NBC. George, love chatting with you, and thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for your time, Dave.
Actor, comedian, and author George Lopez. All right, news is next here on 720 WGN.